7 o'clock, call to order the regular meeting of the Town Discovery Bay Board of Directors. If we could please all stand and join Director Porter in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call, please?
Roll call's been taken, let the record show, all members are present.
Thank you very much. We go straight to B1? I mean, is that what we're doing, first?
Yes, we are going to B1.
What are you doing, agency reports?
I mean, we could skip around. Can we just push that one down to the back, if we don't mind? Is that okay? Okay, let's just start with public comments then. If I could have any member of the public that would like to make a comment that is not on the agenda for this evening.
No hands are raised.
Okay, I am seeing none. All right, we will close public comment and let's move to the consent calendar.
I make a motion to approve consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion, second, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye, thank you very much. We will now move to E1, agency reports. Do we have anyone from Supervisor's Office on the line? Oh, we have someone. I've seen you before.
I'm not in the line, but I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening.
I don't have a time, one quick thing I wanted to update on. We got a couple calls and emails recently about some graffiti that was at Regatta Park. There were some racial slurs and things written on some of the picnic benches or the park benches that were there. And so I just wanted to give some kudos to our public works team. They got out there within an hour and a half of us getting the very first call and had all of the graffiti removed, picked up some trash and some other stuff that they found at the park. And so just want to remind folks that that's what our office is here for. You know, if you see stuff like that, give us a call. We can make sure county staff gets out there and takes care of little stuff like that so it doesn't linger and get worse. So that's my really brief update. I don't have a ton this time of year, not a whole lot's going on. But really, I wanted to be here in case there's questions, concerns, things that you guys have that I might be able to address or answer tonight. So I will turn it to you guys.
No, thanks for getting that taken care of.
Thank you.
Those things are awful. So glad you guys did that.
Well, I'm also happy to hear that their response time was quite quick on that. Maybe moving forward, though, on all elements that concern Discovery Bay and our park system that currently is owned by the county could be also as equally Johnny on the spot. I know Monica has a lot of difficulty sometimes, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I know that it could be challenging finding the right people at the county to get the right answers and the right approvals, and sometimes what seems like a very small kind of item, so.
Yeah, no, definitely have heard that, appreciate that, and again, our office is here to help, so if there's anything in particular that you're having problems with, give me a call.
Okay.
I'll see if I can help grease the wheel and make sure that we get that kind of stuff taken care of, so I appreciate that. Anything else?
Thank you.
No, we're good.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
Have a happy holiday.
You as well, thank you.
Thanks. We will now move to the Sheriff's Report.
Good evening, Board.
Good evening.
Welcome. Okay, so we'll start with last month's stats. So for the month of November, we had 324 calls for service, 33 police reports were written. You will notice that the calls for service is almost identical to the month before. However, the police reports are down 18, which is fantastic, and it's actually indicative of our efforts from the month prior. If you recall, I presented a case from October now, where we apprehended a suspect that we believed was responsible for a string of thefts. So as of yesterday, he's still in custody. So hence the reason the numbers are still low. So hopefully that stays that way for a while. Nothing really significant of note or nothing to speak of as far as the 33 cases that we did generate. Mostly you'll see a lot of property crimes, crimes of opportunity. Again, each and every month I see it, the cases from last month. a lot of victims who are leaving poverty in their cars, unsecured. Some are secured, some are unsecured. So again, it's just a good opportunity for thieves to take advantage of. With the holidays, we do see a lot of package thefts. So now it's a really good opportunity to remind folks that if you're getting Amazon deliveries, if you're not going to be home, maybe make arrangements with your neighbors. Thieves will target this time of year for that because it's easy. And to jump around just a little bit, last month, Tamina had suggested that we produce a holiday safety tip flyer, which we did. And I have copies for each of you, and those were disseminated throughout East County. So thank you for that suggestion. That was a great idea. Next, I'd like to thank not only the board, but the community for their support last night. We hosted our holiday Stubba Cruiser event, which was a toy drive. We collected, and it continued tonight, thank you to Chair Director Porter and her lovely husband, Greg. I got more toys to bring back tonight. We collected a large quantity of toys and monetary donations up to $400. So we selected a family for East County, which actually this year is a Discovery Bay family, to sponsor for our adopt family. And then the rest of the toys that we used for underprivileged families and children so that they have a good Christmas as well. So great turnout last night. I'd like to circle back on a topic that came up, I believe it was last month. It's something that I've been thinking about for a while. There was a question about drug take-back and syringe drop-off locations. Based on that conversation, I tasked one of my reserve deputies to go around to all the locations in our service area to see where the locations were. And we are in the process of putting together a flyer that we can hand out so that people that do have those questions, we can give them a flyer so they know where to take stuff when we're not hosting the National Drug Take Back events that are only twice a year. And then lastly, another topic that has come up a couple times and I've been thinking about was fraud and identity theft, which is something that each and every month runs rampant. And the amount of theft that people suffer is great. So I have teamed up with, she is a retired Hayward police officer, and her specialty is fraud and identity theft. She does presentations, she's wonderful. So if you can mark your calendars, February 19th from 6 to 7:30 at Old River Elementary School, I will be hosting a presentation. The flyer is almost done, and so I will have that available and I'll send it to Kelly as soon as it's done so we can start getting the word out there. But all you need to do is register and then show up. So it'll be a great opportunity to just spread some of that information and hopefully reduce the number of people that are victimized. So looking forward to that turnout. So other than that, that'll be the end of the report for me unless anybody has anything.
So I have two things. One, please continue to bring those flyers by the store. I love putting those up. They dropped off one for the Stubba Cruiser, so that was good.
Perfect.
But the other two flyers, please. We'd love to put those up. The other was, are you planning on doing, I know, I guess it was probably 2 years ago, there was a lot of extra cruiser activity around the area during the holiday season. They actually caught a package theft in progress at my house. So, yeah, and then my yard became this big, unload their truck, it was great. But are you guys planning to do something similar to that this year? Do you have the resources to do that?
With what resources we do have, the deputies will be on high alert for that.
Okay. It's awesome to see them driving around because I know that gives everyone mm-hmm. the extra feeling that you guys are out here. I know you're always out here, but it gives, you know, the extra. So
the visibility alone can sometimes
For sure. Time, so. For sure, and you get lucky like we did. So they got a red scarf.
Was that your Christmas present?
It was.
He wasn't very good that year.
Does anyone else have anything?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd like to wish everybody a happy holidays and hopefully safe with the holiday New Year's and alcohol-related festivities.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone from fire?
I don't believe so.
Okay, and anything filed under Matt? All right. Before we go to presentations, you want to go ahead and do your B1? Let's get that over with.
Oh, what? Are you nervous? Are you nervous? This could be fun.
Sure.
So tonight is Michael's last night on the board and ending and being president. So it was 4 years ago, Michael, when you and I were both voted in, and it was COVID time, so I sat over there, and then there was a seat, and then he sat there, and every meeting we would just sit there and listen, and then just kind of look at each other like, what are they talking about? Yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. But it has been truly an honor and a privilege to work with you, and I really want everybody to jump in, but personally speaking, it's been an honor and a privilege to work with you. You are just a wonderful fellow. You've given sound, thorough, thoughtful, kind advice throughout the 4 years, and you've really made a difference, and greatly, greatly appreciate.
Thank you.
I'll chime in. I think your heart that you show in your business and what you do for our community shine brightly with our board, and everything that you touched with the decisions and stuff that we have to make. I think the community sees what you do, but I don't think they really understand how much that you do for everything that is out there with your donations and your service. And I think it's gonna be a big seat that's gonna be missed when you step off of this board. And I promise I won't only cry, just a tad.
Thank you.
And send 700 gifts tomorrow.
Michael, it really has been a pleasure. Yeah, I appreciate your commitment to our community, not just on the board here. A really busy guy, took a lot of time out of his personal life, time away from his family, time away from his business ventures. And I want to thank you for that commitment. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you did for the community. It's been a pleasure working with you. A lot of common sense is still on the board, but we're going to be missing a little bit of common sense as you walk out the door. So we appreciate your specialties, your ability to look at finances and other things and help us with that. And I'll be calling you in a couple of weeks for some advice.
I'll just echo what everybody else has said. I mean, it's been a pleasure working with you, and I definitely feel that you brought a lot to this board as far as adding additional perception on things. So glad that you did a term, and it's a lot more than most residents do in this community. So thank you for
thank you.
Being a business owner and stepping up when you be so.
All right, enough of all that. Thank you guys so much.
And this is a little gift on behalf of the board and the staff. And then I want to present you with this wonderful plaque. We hope you'll hang it in your home office. Can we take a picture of him with this plaque? Do you want to step around here? Okay.
Here. Oh, I got to do this by myself? Okay. Can we not all just do this together?
I'll go with you.
Yeah, please do. Here, you can hand it to me again, and we'll get this done. Let these people hear what they can.
Officially?
Okay. It's upside down.
Thank you so much. The board is in great hands. We've got a lot of really, really great people here. So, all right. Thank you. Let's move on to H1. So this is going to be the discussion and possible action to approve an agreement for a consultant to perform a, I crashed that one, didn't I? Thank
you. I was going, wait a minute, what's
I know.
Going on here?
We removed that one from the agenda, that'll be followed up in another agenda item. We'll move to H2. Discussion possible action to approve resolution 2024-18, funding and declaring construction of town administrative office is exempt from the California CEQA using class 3 categorical exemption. Do we need to give an explanation of that? Legal?
Yeah, so I can do that. So, as you see in the resolution there are any time that the town or a public agency enters into a project, it has to comply with California Environmental Quality Act, and California Environmental Quality Act, as its name says, is going to regulate the impacts of the environment due to projects that have, that the town is going to authorize or approve. So in doing that, one of the elements that the analysis that we go through is we determine whether it is a project. And there are exemptions to projects. And the exemption that we have identified here is called a Class 3 exemption. And what a Class 3 exemption does is for an urbanized area, if the building does not, outside of the zoning requirements and outside of the use requirements and does not have any special significant impacts to the environment, so it doesn't have any kind of unique features that would otherwise be, different than a typical building that is pretty typical to everywhere around here. That's step one. Step two is then we look at whether there's were in a sensitive area like a wetland, whether we're in a sensitive area with regard to cultural resources, whether we're in a sensitive area with regard to endangered species. And our consultant did the analysis and has identified that none of those issues apply to what we're doing here. So the recommendation from staff is to make the finding as a legislative body, so as the board of directors, that you made the requisite findings for a Class 3 exemption from CEQA. What this resolution will do is it establishes those findings in writing, and it also gives direction to Dina as the general manager to delegate to somebody on her staff to submit this notice to the CEQA Clearinghouse. And what the CEQA Clearinghouse does is puts everybody on notice that the town of Discovery Bay has made this finding, and then anybody that has any interest has contact information to reach out and find more out about the project.
Great, thank you so much for that. Do we have any public comment about the CEQA exemption specifically? Seeing none in person, any online?
No hands raised.
Okay, very good. I'll bring it back to the board for any discussion.
I just have a clarifying question. So after we hired this third-party consultancy group, we actually submitted something to the CEQA entity, and they gave us a preliminary, yes, everything looks good?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. So you may, you as the town Discovery Bay make those determinations on your own, and then what you do is you submit a notice of intention. And the notice of intention is that gets put into the clearinghouse, which then everybody in the public that has notice of what the project is, and it also notifies the various groups that would like cultural resources groups, local native tribes, the various like Delta Bay Keeper, those sorts of folks will look at that, and if they have any issues, then they come to us. There's no body or entity at the state that gives you a preliminary. You make those determinations as a town.
Got it.
Any other questions from the board?
No.
Okay, then can we get a roll call vote on the CEQA exemption?
Make a motion first.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Let's do
you're
that.
Already
I'm already out. Let's go.
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation for H2A.
Second.
Okay, now I'm sorry. Can we have a roll call on that?
Director Porter, aye. Director Gatteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye. Thank you so much. Okay, so now for the main event. We have discussion and possible action to authorize general manager to contract with Mobile Modular to construct the town of Discovery Bay's office administration building.
So I would like to bring to the podium Mobile Modular's representative, Josh, and he will give the presentation. And he also brought a business partner with him that will introduce himself.
Great. Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Josh Dean. Darren Hughes is with me. He's a construction manager with Mobile Modular. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to present, to make this presentation, to kind of give an update. So actually, we can go to the next slide here. And I'll just say there's three main things. One is just to give an update on the design contract that we already have with Discovery Bay, and to discuss the second item is to discuss the modular building proposal, and the last item is just to give some highlights on the status of the site work estimate. So we can go to the next slide, and I'll try to be brief. I know we don't need to get too bogged down in the details, but I also just wanted to give you guys an update on what we've been doing for you over the last few months since we first got underway with this contract. So we have completed the first phase of the design process, which is the programming phase. And the purpose of that phase was just to gather information on the town's needs for the building, as well as to gather data on the project site so that we could define the total scope of work of the project. Then we created and submitted the preliminary design to Contra Costa County for the design review. So under the programming phase, we completed these activities so far, as I mentioned, gathering the site data, including the tax map, utility locations, and zoning requirements. We had a geotechnical engineer come out here, and so we had the their report complete, surveying, parking analysis, and like I said, we submitted the full site design to the county. So the deliverables for this section that we've provided so far would be the floor plan, the elevations, and the building renderings, and that preliminary site plan, as well as a demolition sheet. So we brought out here this nice little poster board just for the community to be able to see what's, you know, what their project looks like. And so that's some of those designs, floor plan, elevation, and renderings. And we can go to the next slide. And I just wanted to talk really quick about the demolition. And this is the current status of the site. And a couple of main things just to point out is we were able to maintain the three large trees that are shown in the east of the property, which is the top of the plan. Those don't have to come out for any of this construction. Those trees are kind of making a U shape. That's right where the building will go. So that's all going to come out. And the tree that's directly to the south of this building, which is on the right side of it, that one will have to come out. But all the trees on the east side there, those will remain. We provided the demo plan as a separate attachment, and we can go on to the next slide now to take a look at the site plan. Just wanted to highlight a few items that came up in that programming phase. And so there's a secure parking for the employees and for the board. There's additional public parking that will be added. You can see that on the bottom right of the plan there. But all the other existing parking will just remain as is. There will be three added EV charging parking spaces and nine future-ready spaces, or future EV-ready spaces. And that's part of the current California code requirements. We're trying to maximize the use of what's existing. So the existing landscaping and walkways as much as possible are being maintained so as to kind of minimize the extent of the site work required. There will be a public access gravel road on the right side there, but that will be fenced off and the gravel going down on the right side to allow access to for the delivery trucks that come. And there will be a CMU wall added to the top. You can see the top part of the building there. That's going to provide some sound and visual separation from the community and pool area from the building. The landscaping is going to use Contra Costa County indigenous plants and trees. And as I mentioned, all this has been submitted just for the first step with the county. And incidentally, we received a letter notice yesterday that the plan reviewer has been assigned, and so we should have all comments back from them within 30 days. Okay. So on the next slide is just some highlights on the floor plan of the building. It's very similar to what we had shown last time, but we did make some changes and some additions working with Dina and with the town staff to make sure that the building fits the needs properly. So some of the office spaces and the break room were made a slightly larger. Sound masking was added for areas where private conversations are needed. The boardroom and dais are slightly larger to allow seating for all members and staff on the dais. And there will be a operable partition so that if you can imagine if this was, you know, this, the new boardroom, there would be the ability to close off the wall here, right, to create a multi-purpose space with the rest of the room for classes or events that it might be useful for. We added additional public restrooms, a nursing mother's room for any staff who needs to have a private space to pump milk. And so we have added some security measures that we can look at in a little bit. And one nice thing that was asked, I think when last time I was here, was for a higher ceiling in the boardroom, or what the ceiling height would be. So the ceiling height in the boardroom would be 10 feet, and throughout the rest of the building would be 8 foot 6 inches. Sprinkler systems was included for safety, and just a couple of points. Let's see here, we are nearly done with the shop drawings, the factory shop drawings that will be submitted to the state of California that approves modular construction. And so that will be completed next week. Mobile Modular is going to review those drawings before it goes to the state, but that is nearly complete. And the design was completed sufficiently that we could provide a firm fixed fee proposal for the building. So is there any questions on any of that?
Yeah, can I just ask a couple of quick questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you clarify some of these things? I know that it shows that we added, but some of them were added because of code.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I can highlight
which ones those are. Like, I think it was like the bathrooms, the nursing room.
Yeah,
stuff
so
like that.
The nursing room was one. Yeah, that you have to have a space for that, and it could be an unused office or something, but if you have a dedicated space for it, then it's always there. You're never having an office that's not able to be used because it's being held for that. So by creating this dedicated space, you can size it accordingly. The additional public restrooms needed to be added because we have separation from staff areas from public areas, and so that changed the counts required of toilet fixtures. So there was previously just one single restroom for the public area. So you can see on the bottom of the plan by the boardroom, there are two restrooms that were added. Other code. So sprinkler system, there, because this building has two occupancies, it has a business or office occupancy. It also has a assembly or, you know, public space occupancy. There's going to be a separation. You could either handle that by using sprinklers or through a series of fire rated walls and other fire rating measures. And the option of going with sprinklers is one of the options that's available to meet those requirements, and it seems the safer option for everybody. So, and it's much more straightforward as far as the construction of the building as well. I think everything else is kind of, anything else that we added were things that just came up in the discussions about the use of the building.
Okay, thank you.
I have one question for you. If something, a need arose that we needed to make a change, could we still make changes?
At this time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
On the ceiling height restriction, do they have anything to do with our the delivery location and coming across the bridges? I know that came up.
It's not really so much the specific location. Yeah. It's delivery in general. I mean, most places to try to deliver much taller would be a big challenge. So it is because of the delivery, but it's not specifically because we're here.
Interesting. Can we go back real quick to the site plan? And I just have a quick question regarding the parking lot. Is the parking lot dictating where the building is going in any form at this point, or So as an example, if we were to change, enlarge the parking lot, would that affect the building location, you know, specifically where it's being laid down?
So it's not, they were kind of, the building design was developed first, so the shape and size of it, and it had to be placed on the plan. So if you increase the size of the parking area, there, you don't really have much room to increase the size of it, like in a useful way. Maybe I think maybe you could kind of explain like what if you have like a, what you have in mind.
Just maximizing the real estate that we have available to us.
More parking spaces?
If that's a possibility, and if we should start thinking about that now before the building goes in, or it's kind of a moot point. I don't know if that came up in you guys' conversations at all.
I think we...
I'm not clear on the question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. We didn't get into the nitty-gritty of it. We went through, like,
right
those,
now,
type of things we've kind of left up to staff to do, and this was just the design contracts, what we had been asked, what we asked Mobile Modular to do as far as the design portion of it. So I think that was done from based off of what we gave them from the original ad hoc committee and the original engineers that worked on that plan.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing any changes from our current layout, so I would just, the question I'm asking is that something that we need to consider before these guys move forward, or it's...
The county has a requirement to how many parking spaces are needed based on occupancy and projected occupancy, and that's what, and so we... They made sure that they had enough parking places that
okay.
would meet the county requirements.
We did, yeah, so that was part of the architect's work was to do a parking analysis and looking at the code, what the code requires for it. So that was what drove the number of parking spaces that were included. So you could potentially find ways to squeeze more parking spaces in here, but not a ton, not significantly, without a more substantial demolition on the site and like impact to what is currently here.
I'm just trying to confirm that we can look at it now, or we can look at it later. And it's not going to affect the building in itself as far as where it's being positioned.
Well, it's going to be better to look at it now. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. If you're, because it is tight and it is gonna, if you're saying no, we want to have X number more parking spaces, then we would need to kind of take a look at that creatively and try to figure out how we would, you know, accommodate it.
So yeah, the question may be where could we put more parking spaces from that? You
well,
could come up with how many.
Yeah, I mean, we had some discussions getting rid of the little roundabout.
So if you look like the top is kind of restricted by the place, the pool area and the community area. To the left is this building. And obviously towards the bottom is that roundabout. So there's not too much room for more parking.
I think from a committee, our ask was to follow code, what code, building code is requiring. And I think the other ask was, please try to be as cost efficient as you possibly can, because that's what's being asked of us from our constituents. And so I think that's what they've presented to
us. Which is fine. I'm just...
Yeah.
Now's the time for discussion, so we're having a discussion.
No, it's a good time to ask questions. The building's going to go where the building goes, and the employee parking lot's going to go where the employee parking lot goes. We can spend as much money as we want to on the site to completely revamp the parking lot in the future. That's not going to affect what we're talking about here tonight, though, because really we're talking about the building and that site that the building's going to go on. The site work is not really being addressed at this point, but we can have more discussion on that if the board would like to.
No, as long as we're moving methodically and thinking about the stuff that we should think about. So,
is there any more questions to this point?
No.
All right, we can kind of, the next slide is just to point out that we provided some carpet pile samples that would be everywhere that's shown in white. There's anti-static VCT tile going into the IT room, ceramic tile in your restrooms, and vinyl plank and all those pink areas, which would be like the lobby, the file room, the break room. And so that, we can go on to the next slide with that one. And so we did include some security measures, and one of those is electronic keying access to the building, and the kind of idea behind that is to control and be able to monitor who accesses the office part of the building. So anywhere that there is access either from outside or from a public space into the office, it's gonna have electronic controlled access. And then within the building, certain rooms will have that, like IT and the file room, so that it's possible to monitor and control at any time who has access to those spaces or who has access to those spaces. So there are some other security items in there as well, but we can just go into the next slide, which is our elevations. And you have three coat stucco around the entire perimeter of the building, a stone veneer wainscot across the front facing part of the building, and a 24 gauge metal roof. Yeah, I sent over the warranty information on that. It has a 40-year material warranty for the roof. Next couple slides are all started showing that we're also providing furniture in the building and have begun the layout and the design for each office. Every office we have furniture, as well as the boardroom, the dais, the conference room, break room, and the next couple slides just show a couple examples of which type of furniture that we'd be providing. So just basic office chairs, staffable chairs, simple laminate casework. And yeah, that last one is just a simple rendering of the building, and just to get, kind of give a feeling in 3D of what it would look like. Of course, it doesn't show all the grass and the trees that kind of make it look a little in its setting, but gives a better visual to 3D.
So question for you on the furniture. So I know in past lives, dealing with buildings being built and furnished and stuff, there's different levels. So you mentioned basic, so we're not going with the executive level and everything, we're doing the basic.
Well, I wouldn't say, I don't think that these are the,
I don't mean,
like the lowest.
I don't, yeah, basic, I don't, we're not, yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with IKEA, but we're not, it's not like an IKEA furniture, but it's better than that.
The driving or the guiding principle behind the whole process has been to select things that are durable, but not, extravagant.
There we go.
For everything.
Thank you.
Furniture to exterior and interior finishes. Things that are nice, but not ostentatious and a waste of money.
Can I ask a quick question? I noticed on the renderings we have a metal roof, and I refresh my memory, but we're within code for solar, correct? Like, we're not required to put solar on those roofs because we're already working on another solar project. Is that correct? Is that why we're not seeing any solar panels or doing anything like
that? So you could put solar if you chose to. The roof does have to be designed with a certain percentage of space that is available for solar, and it has to be nominal, but strong enough to support the weight of solar panels and being fastened to the roof. But they're not required to be attached to the roof, and since you're providing them to the rest of the site currently, you wouldn't need to put them. I'm not providing expert code analysis right now, but my understanding is that there wouldn't be any. And I'll say that in all the buildings that we construct and sell all the time, we're not putting solar on every single one. It just are required to be solar ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And just as a reminder, we've been working with Veolia for 2 or 3 years on a solar project here. So the board's been working on that since you guys came on to bring solar to this area. Mm-hmm. And with possible carports and other requests from pickleballers and that type of thing, we're going to have plenty of access to areas for panels.
Perfect. Thank you.
So the next thing is just to kind of get into the proposal. You have a copy of our proposal, but just to give kind of a an overview. We had provided some rough order of magnitude pricing previously, and throughout the course of the design, some additional items came up that are listed there that ended up totaling around $300,000 approximately to the total cost of the project. Our proposal, including those items, as well as including some demolition for the site, ended up coming in just under what we had projected with the rough order of magnitude estimate last time for the building. So I was pretty pleased to have that happen, that we have room to where we added in some critical items and still came in within the budget that we had estimated before we, you know, before we got started. We also gave and added line item costs that could be part of the building contract or could be included at a later time with the site contract for the foundation. So you have all those numbers there. Was there any questions on our proposal?
So to clarify, the foundation cost we could add into the building cost, or we could add into the site cost, correct?
Either way, yeah. We basically, anything that we had sufficient information, we provided you with the quote for it. So we have enough information for the foundation, so we provided a quote for it. The building, and including some small amount of site demolition, it's the site work that we didn't work, the design is not far enough along yet to provide an accurate price.
So you're estimating kind of around 2.5?
We're projecting between 2 million and 2.5 million.
Okay.
There's an actual page on site work estimate.
That's true, yeah. Sorry,
I'm going to be the pain in the butt to ask you two questions. I wanted to clarify too on the scope of work in the proposal that you have. It's the this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's a lot of stuff that says excluded, but that excluded is separate from the building, correct? So that excluded will probably more than likely be included in the site work.
Right. It's because this proposal is strictly for the building.
Okay.
So yes. So if you see something on there,
like foundation layout. We have to have a foundation at some point, right? It will be there.
Or general conditions, we're not including those with the building.
Okay.
Yeah, excavation, all those kinds of things are going to be excluded.
Perfect.
So if you see something that's listed as like my owner, then that would be something to take note of. That would be your, the town's
responsibility.
Responsibility.
Okay. But excluded potentially could be part of site work.
Yes.
We're only talking about the
Yes,
building.
You know, and so you could probably provide a scope letter to kind of provide further clarity on doing that. You know, like saying this future site or will be included in our site report.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to clarify because.
Yeah, if you have any specifics, we can answer them right now.
No, I mean, it makes sense because, like, plumbing, sanitary, sewer, sewers, obviously that's not that actual building. It's going to be part of site work.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dina, just taking this one step further, in your estimation, so should our future proposal or proposed project manager review this first, or is that kind of a separate issue? I'm just trying to, how do we make sure we're understanding this contract and all the proposals properly? That's where I would think that the project manager might step in, but I don't know necessarily if that's the case or not.
So when you do hire the construction manager, they will take a look at this, and if there's anything that they see, then we'll address it with Mobile Modular. But when it comes to the site work, yes, they'll be hired in advance to be able to review the site work and give their interject and give their concerns there. So,
I guess I'm just trying to calibrate whether or not that needs to be in place first prior to accepting this contract or not necessarily.
So the action that you're being asked to tonight is to provide authority for the general manager to enter into the agreement.
Now, the agreement won't be entered into without a review through the construction manager and as well in coordination with my office. So right now, they're making the proposal that has terms. So to your point, you need our construction manager to understand those terms, because in the event that you all proceed with this, your construction manager is going to be integral to the administration of this project. So they're going to meet with that contract. The contracts, I always explain them as the rules of the game. So long as they understand the rules of the game, then that's going to be more beneficial for you as the town.
Yeah, perfect. That explains it. I'm just trying to understand how the process worked. And
yeah, sequencing. It's a great question. Sequencing is extremely important. The first step is to contract for the building, and once that is, then the investment can be put into contracting for the site work.
Yeah.
But until we approve the building, we're not going to put more money into a. Maybe we're going to put a new parking lot here or something. So sequencing, Brian, you're actually, sequencing is extremely important, mm-hmm. and you don't never want to get the cart in front of the horse, that's for sure.
If you'd like, I can provide a synopsis of the scope of work of this proposal, but we can also skip that if everyone's so clear on it.
Okay, if there's no objections to the board, we can move on to the next section.
The next slide is just basically a reiteration of what the scope of work of that proposal is. So we don't have to necessarily go through all that.
We feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
This is an estimated schedule. We have, I was going to show very well on the TV, but I don't know if you all have a chance to take a look at that yet or not, but these are the three sections are the design contract, which is currently in progress in top in blue, then the building, and in the green and the purple would be the site. And so we're projecting just before this time next year, the project could be complete if we begin the process shortly. And I did have one last slide on the site work estimate and the design progress on that. I guess we've kind of touched on some of this already. We have completed the programmatic phase, the programming phase, and we're currently in the schematic design phase. We have a preliminary utility plan that's currently being worked on, and the grading plan, site dimension plan. And once those are more complete, then we'll be able to provide pricing for those items. The scope of work for the site work is basically everything that needs to be completed on the site to allow this building to be complete. So all the underground utilities, parking, EV stations, walkways, patios, the landscaping, bio swales, trash enclosure, the fencing gates, the wall, all of it. The only item that's not included or it is not finished is some of the IT work that will be completed by your IT company. And so as we discussed, the total estimated cost on that is $2 to $2.5 million, including the foundation. And there would also be some permitting costs that would go directly. Those would not come through us. Those would go directly from the county or PG&E to the town. Those are estimated between $100,000 and $150,000. So that concludes what I have to share with you all tonight. Again, I thank you for our payouts for all the information. Thank you for letting us be here, and it's been a pretty smooth and a really nice process so far working on the design. Love working with Dina. She's great to work with, and I hope she feels the same about Mobile Modular. Do you all have any other questions for me? Darren's here to answer your private technical questions.
Any questions from the board
This came before the committee, and we wanted to make sure that the board had the complete report and had it ahead of time and could review it and get the same information that we got. So
this was good.
we felt that it was very comprehensive, and we discussed, as Josh mentioned, things right down to, wait a minute, what about IT? Well, that's a separate, we have to go through IT consultants and make sure that all the lines are put where they're supposed to put, all the outlets, but they will provide the access to that, but that's probably, that's gonna be a separate contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
So we really discussed everything, I think.
Like Kevin said, it came before water, wastewater, so we could ask a bunch of those questions, so when it came here, those questions were included and available, and, you know, I appreciate Josh, you making that happen so quickly, and, you know, water, wastewater is comfortable with what you presented.
We recommend the proposal of the wastewater, wastewater.
Okay, well, if there's no other questions from the board, thank you so much. We'd like to open it to public comment. Do we have anybody in the audience here that would like to make a public comment? Please step up to the microphone if you wouldn't mind.
I would be curious to see what the difference is between fireproofing the building and sprinkling it. Okay.
You have to address.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Address us, please.
So, thank you for that.
And this, it's a sound wall that you're putting in. Is that correct?
Yeah, unfortunately, in public comment, we're not allowed to go back and forth, but yes, for that, it is a soundproof wall that was demonstrated, yes.
Okay, what's that look like?
Do you have the site plans? We can make those available at the end of the meeting.
I have a site plan.
Okay,
yeah,
we'll make those available at the end of the meeting.
That's been submitted?
Yeah.
Great,
thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Happy holidays.
You as
happy
well.
Happy holidays.
A couple of points. One is regarding solar, and thank you for bringing that up. That's a great question. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that all public buildings had to have solar on them. I could be wrong, but I will say, regardless, I think our goal should be carbon neutral, and that if there's a space on that roof for solar panels, and I believe we're grandfathered in for net metering too, all the more reason to throw some more panels on there and go for that carbon neutral goal that I keep on hounding you guys about. I apologize for that. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was the sequencing. So that was kind of new to me, which brought up the questions about site. So my main beef about site is, okay, there's a ballpark $2.5 million, but we're about to buy a building and have it put there, but we really haven't fleshed out all the costs for the site. They say $2.5 million, maybe true, maybe not. My feedback on the November 20th committee meeting was, hey, have we looked at all these things in the excluded column, have we added them up, and does that equal $2.5 million? I don't know if you guys have done that calculation, but I would urge you to do that, and yes, authorize Dina to go ahead and have the ability to execute the contract, but not execute it until you've really flushed out all those site costs. That's it.
Thank you so much.
There's that online.
Okay, we have no, please, Frank.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Happy holidays.
You as well.
Same.
Couple just clarifying questions that hopefully you can address for the record so people will know. First off, if I'm understanding this right, it's up to two and a half million for the site work. From what I understood, it's 4.5 or so for the building. I could be wrong, so I'm hoping you'll correct me on that. So, looking at about $7, maybe $8 million total. So, number one, I'd like the total projected cost of the building, with including the site work and everything. And the second part of that is, where's the funds coming from? Does the board have the money to fund the complete project without adding anything to a rate assessment for the ratepayers? I think those two key things are important, and I will say this as a closing comment. $8 million is a lot less than $13 million. So by going back and taking the time, I think you're looking at saving about $5 million. So thank you very much for that. but hopefully you'll clarify those questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in person that has any public comment? No? Okay. Then I will, we have a hand raised online.
If you could unmute yourself.
Good evening.
Hi, Leonard. Welcome.
Hi. One quick comment. In many, many projects I've been involved with in multiple counties, there's one rule of thumb that applies everywhere. The permitting agency's parking requirements are never sufficient as written. So targeting what the county, and this is one of the more misrun counties that I've been involved with, targeting the zoning requirement by the county and saying, that's how many parking spaces we need, that will never be enough. You need to add more than what the zoning requires. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other hands raised?
No, there are.
No, and one last time in the audience? No? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for a final discussion. One of the things I wanted to clarify was where the funds are coming from, and that is in the proposal, but if you wouldn't mind, Dina, can you explain a little bit where those funds are coming from?
Yeah, for the staff report, we have been very diligent in saving about $3 million, but then we also were really good at saving and saving, and so we will not be doing a part of the rate study will not be for this building. We do have the money to pay for this building, and we are going to use our funds to do that.
Okay, very good. And then finally, I think that the final thing for me anyway, I think that the estimated cost for the building came in right at around seven.
Including
site work, is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so those two clarifying. Any other questions or comments from the board?
No, I think the only comment I have is that this has been like a laborious thing. I think that the board, water, wastewater staff has tried very, very hard to look at every option available, really look at what our growth is going to be, what we need for that, what we need at this point. And so, you know, we've tried very, very hard to be conscientious in everything that we're doing.
And I did, I'm just going to add, and Frank pointed out too, I think that I want to thank the board for stepping back, looking at it again, making compromises in design, making compromises in square footage or whatever it is taken to take it from what we knew was going to be between 14 and 16 million on the original bill, listening to the public saying, okay, we hear you, let's find an alternative. And getting a hold of Mobile Modular. Fortunately, they were doing a project local, but we also got some recommendations from the public to look at a modular building, and I just think it's great that we've been able to come up with a compromise that's going to be a lot less. I'm hoping more than $5 million less than what it's going to be for that one.
Correct.
So,
thank you.
Well, thanks for your efforts to you. Yeah, thanks for the sleepless nights and the did we cover it?
it takes the whole team.
Yes, it was all of us.
So. Okay, so with that, if there are no other clarifying questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation to give the general manager authority to enter into a contract with Mobile Modular.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter? Aye. Director Gouteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye. Very good. Thank you for that. Let's move to item H3, discussion possible action regarding contracting to conduct construction management services for the Town of Discovery Bay Administrative Office Building Project. Can we take a moment real quick? Just let everyone clear the
Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
For your input.
Okay, so discussion and possible action.
Yes, so the committee was created to do an interview committee, and we interviewed on November 22nd three potential companies, and so those have been evaluated and a decision has been made, and I will pass that over to Director Director Graves and Director Porter to give their input because they were members of the committee.
So staff looked at different resources to find people that were qualified to be project managers for this project. And they used a lot of our resources, went to CSDA and got recommendations, talked to other people that had done building construction and got recommendations. And we received some interesting estimates, and you can see the numbers there if you're looking at the staff report. But we interviewed each one individually. Two of them we felt were very qualified for the project, but the disparity in the contract estimates were just unbelievable, and no matter how comfortable we might have been with one of them, the last one was just couldn't even consider it based on the price point. But the other two were really qualified individuals. It was the only reason that the decision was easier than it should have been was because of the price. What I do want to point out is that is not a not to exceed price, first of all, and that is not a final price. They don't do a not to exceed, but that's their top estimate. They're only going to charge us for what they do. The organization that we chose has done everything. Their reference list went from 7 million to a billion. And I questioned them on that. Well, wait a minute, what are you doing coming over here to Discovery Bay for a $4 million project? You know, why is this? And he said, well, those are our referral projects. We have projects as small as $200,000 going on over in Stockton at the school district. And in fact, we have several projects in Stockton right now. So it's a good infill for us. We closed, we already have a guy here, and we were able to save you some money because of that. So it all kind of made sense, but we questioned him pretty extensively about that.
Yeah.
Ashley, do you want to add to that?
I agree with what Director Graves says. And to your point, Director Guto, you had asked the question if the project management team had looked at this. Staff had given them Mobile Modular's proposals beforehand, so they were kind of able to come in when we were interviewing them and go through that project list and say, you know, here are some of the questions that we have you thought about that? From that, we took and came back to Mobile Modular and asked those questions for the presentation tonight. Again, I agree with Director Graves in the first and the second had really good qualifications, but by the price, you know, if there wasn't enough of a disparity to go with something that was a little bit more expensive. I like that they had a bunch of stuff around this area, so that means that they're going to be around here and can work with other vendors that are around here so we can stay on task.
And one other positive on COACT 24, they were the only ones that actually reached out and talked to Mobile Modular before they came to meet with us.
Ooh, that's
so they had a really good idea of what was being planned, and they said, oh yeah, we talked to them about that. And one of the big concerns that we have, as you and I kind of both know people that are in the business, is getting the new service connected from PG&E. That can take a year sometimes. So the longer we would wait to make the decision we made tonight would make it more difficult. Our goal is to have that building up and occupied at this time next year. And PG&E could be the big sticky wicket. So these things were already addressed in the initial conversations, and they'd already even talked to Mobile Modular about it. So we're moving forward, you know. And it just, as you look at those pricings, that's $150,000, $170,000 difference between, you know, number one and number two, and then another. So, but they were very qualified. We weren't just taking the lowest number. In this case, I think the lowest number is the best choice.
Agreed.
All right. Do we have any questions from the board?
Yeah.
Open it up to public comment. Do we have anyone in public that would like to comment? No? Any online?
No hands raised.
Okay, bring it back to the board to final discussion or motion.
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendation to hire,
COACT 24
for our project manager.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter.
Aye.
Director Guto.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Graham.
Aye.
President Callahan.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for all your work on that. Okay. All right. Do we have any manager report?
No.
tonight. GM report? Was there anything that came out of the Finance Committee meeting?
No, we reviewed the bi-monthly financial report. Margaret had it beautifully prepared and quickly answered our many questions, so all was good.
Awesome. Some training reports filed. Correspondence legal?
I have none.
Any future agenda items for the board? Okay, at this time, then, if we could have legal take us into closed session.
So Town Discovery Bay will adjourn the closed session to address the items listed on the agenda as Q1, Q2, Public Employee Performance Evaluation, Conference with Labor Negotiator. Now would be the time, if there's any public comment on this. If there's no public comment, you can adjourn this.
Okay, do we have any public comment on entering into closed session? Any online?
No.
Okay, hearing none, we will now adjourn to closed session. Thank you very much, everyone. Lee would like to come back to from closed session.
Town Discovery Bay will reconvene to open session. All members were present during the entirety of the closed session. There is no portable action.
Great, thank you so much. If there is nothing else, S. S1?
That's correct.
Okay, so we will now look at the business and action item, discussion of possible action to approve the amendment to the GM employment agreement.
I make a motion to approve
the amendment.
The amendment to General Manager Employment Agreement.
And the amendment consists of a compensation amendment to $191,100 and an increase of the car allowance to $550. All other substantive terms remain the same.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter.
Aye.
Director Coteau.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Graham.
Aye.
President Callahan.
Aye. And with that, I will adjourn
for the last time.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a pleasure, guys.